Amen. Yes, sir. We certainly appreciate the fine job that Brother William Prowell did in directing our singing this evening. In a very spirited fashion, he seems to have selected just the songs that were needed. And the congregation blended your voices together in a wonderfully harmonious fashion. Brother Bonner, that's good singing, isn't it, sir? Absolutely. We appreciate Brother Bonner. We're always glad to see him. He has helped us in a very marvelous way down through the years. I've kind of lost count of how many years he has been coming. But our singing is the better, it's the richer, because of the help and encouragement, guidance, and leadership and singing that he has provided. I want to just let him know that now. See, we need not wait until the funeral to express to people how much we appreciate them. 'Twere better to carry a single flower to a living friend at any hour than to pile hosts of roses, white and red, upon his coffin when he's dead. So while he can still see the beautiful flowers and smell them with his own personal nostrils, we want to present them to him. We appreciate the scripture reading by Brother Eric and the meaningful and thoughtful prayer led by Brother Gary Davis. Turn with us, please, to a familiar passage. I don't know about you, but this is a passage that I need to consider and contemplate and meditate on periodically. Sometimes I have difficulty managing my moods. I also have difficulty managing sometimes my manners. Sometimes I face real challenges managing my money. There are so many competing interests. The advertising industry makes it very challenging. The credit industry makes it very challenging for us to manage our meager funds and resources. But I have probably the most difficulty managing my mouth. That presents a very serious and difficult challenge of the highest order. And that's why I want to focus on managing our mouths as we consider the familiar passage from Psalm 19:14. A prayer for good conduct. We pray for many things, but seldom do we pray for good conduct. However, the psalmist is praying for good conduct in Psalm 19 and verse 14. It is a model prayer for all of us. This one verse speaks of the subjects of our conduct, the standard of our conduct, and the sanctifier of our conduct. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Consider first of all the subjects of conduct words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. The psalmist is concerned about two important matters of conduct, his mouth and his meditation. First, his mouth. How important it is for the child of God to have a sanctified mouth. Too often, the tongue is a cesspool of iniquity, spewing out filth and putridity from morning till night. Many tongues, shamefully, are full of lies and profanity, which hurt people and dishonor and discredit God our Father. But a good tongue is a benefit to everyone. Wise men and wise women will pray that their tongue will be a holy tongue. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to look at verses 29 through 30. He focuses attention on the awesome powers of speech. Ephesians 4, 29 through 31. Follow along with me, please. Ephesians 4, 29 through 31. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We should be careful in keeping with the psalmist's request in this meaningful prayer, Psalm 19 and 14, to do everything within our poor power to ensure that no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. We just cannot allow, we cannot afford for corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouths. We have charge, we have control, or we should have, of our tongues, and we can utilize our tongues to bless, to build up, to encourage, to edify. And Lord knows all of us need to be edified. All of us need to be built up. All of us need to be encouraged. All of us need to have some positive things said to us, some meaningful things said to us, and God has blessed each of us with the awesome powers of speech with which we can edify and strengthen each other. Verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When we misuse the tongue, when we allow dishonorable and dishonoring speech, corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouths, it breaks the heart of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we misuse and abuse our tongue. And he goes ahead to say in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. we need to rid ourselves of all of these negative elements, especially the evil speaking. We need to put it away from us. I call your attention again to another pertinent passage dealing with the power of the tongue and the vital importance and significance of it. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. There'll be a lot of folks lost. There'll be a lot of folks who will not make it to heaven. And the weapon of mass destruction will be the cause of it. You know what the weapon of mass destruction? We're not talking about chemical warfare. We're not talking about nuclear weapons. We're not talking about the massive bombs like those that are being dropped on the installations of ISIS. We're talking about that little unruly member known as the tongue. Yeah, that's what we're talking about when we speak of weapons of mass destruction. Speaking of weapons of mass destruction, let me ask you, and if you fit the category, raise your hand. I don't expect anybody to raise their hands, by the way. But you know who the meanest member of Hart Street is? And don't be looking at me like, "Brother Joe, I think it's you." No. I don't think so. But who is the meanest, nastiest, low-downest, unruly member of Hart Street? I don't think you'll see him. And this, maybe this will help you to relax a little bit. I don't think you'll see him when you look in the mirror. But the meanest member, the most stubborn member, the nastiest member of the Hart Street congregation is the tongue. Oh, yeah. Now you can breathe a sigh of relief. Yeah, the tongue, that's it. Oh, yeah. The tongue is the meanest member. Jesus, speaking to and condemning his vicious antagonist, in Matthew 12, verses 34 through 37 says, and Jesus didn't mince any words. Matthew 12, 34 through 37, he said, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Notice, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Do you know that your words are an accurate index indicating the kind of heart that you have? Your words let us know. Your words inform us of what the contents of your heart are. He says in verse number 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Notice now, and this is something that we need to think about. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Some of us, as I've indicated previously, some of us are going to be lost. Yes, yes. Some of us are going to be lost because of the tongue. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to miss heaven for nothing. And I certainly don't want to miss heaven because of my tongue. So I want y'all to help me manage my tongue better. Y'all can do that by being kinder to me, by encouraging me, and not deliberately ruffling my feathers and rubbing me against the grain. Yeah, we can help each other out. And we can use the tongue to do it. We can use words to do it, speaking those things that edify, those things that build up. And verse 37, Jesus concludes this particular section by saying, and this is very sobering, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2. And I realize it's kind of warm. Somebody said, ain't warm at all, it's hot. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but the grievous words stir up anger. This is verse 2, is the first part of verse 2 is where I want to be. I want this reflected in my life, in my management of the tongue. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. A lot of times you can identify a fool by his words, the quality and the quantity of them. Verse 4 of chapter 15 of Proverbs is another passage. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Yes. And Proverbs 18 and verse 21 should wake all of us up and should challenge all of us. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life in the power of the tongue. I don't know what all happened with Big Mike Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. But I think that the tongue played a role. I think the tongue played a vital role. And I don't know what the final findings will be when the grand jury has completed its investigation and have interrogated the witnesses and have meditated and deliberated and drawn their conclusions as to exactly what happened, but I think that the tongue played a vital role. And the misuse of it, or the irresponsible use of it, might have greatly contributed to the unfortunate death of Big Mike. Sometimes it's just good to keep your mouth shut. Just be quiet. You don't even have to see hands up. You don't even have to say, hands up, don't shoot. Hands up, don't shoot. Sometimes it's best just to be quiet. Just to be quiet. A lot of men, especially a lot of our black men, are sleeping beneath the sod because they did not learn to manage their tongues properly. Sometimes folks just have to say the wrong thing, just have to speak. I heard of a young man just recently whose name shall not be disclosed. He shall be anonymous, But in a city very close to Nashville, he was driving, and a pickup pulled up beside him, and the driver of that vehicle, when this young man looked over at him, he said, "What are you looking at?" N-word. And the young man, the black young man, he said, "What did you say?" And the man said it again. He said, "I said, what are you looking at, N-word?" And the young man said, "See, you pull over down there. Yeah, I want to talk to you. Pull over." And the guy pulled over. And the young man in question, and this just happened about 3 weeks ago, got out of his vehicle. Yes. The other man, the offender, got out of his vehicle. Yes. And they went at it. They had words with each other. That was a dangerous thing to do.
Oh, yes.
When a man says that twice, and then answers your challenge to pull over, you don't know what he has. And this young man didn't have nothing but a tongue and a mouth. He didn't have no knife. He didn't have no pistol. And he didn't know what this other man had. He could have very well lost his life right there, all unnecessarily. He should have moved on and gone about his business. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. And that doesn't just apply to on the streets, on the highways and byways. That applies at the house as well. Sometimes you need to just hush. You don't have to try to have the last word. You don't have to challenge your mate or your spouse or your parents. Sometimes it's just best to be quiet, to remain unengaged. Brother Daniel emphasized the validity of the message of Kenny Rogers' song. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to walk away and know when to run. You never count your money, Kenny says, while sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. So you have to know when to hush, and you can live to fight another day. One thing I love about that illustrious, virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31, verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Let us take our cue from the virtuous woman. Wise men indeed will pray that their tongue will be a holy tongue. We don't only need to focus on our mouths, but we need to focus on our meditation. Our thoughts are the key to our deeds. Therefore, we need a good thought life. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, we may not be what we think we are, but we are what we think. Pray for a sanctified thought life, if you want a holy life. Evil thoughts will produce evil conduct, evil results. But not only do we consider the standards of conduct, but we consider also the subjects of conduct, but the standard of conduct. And I think this is pertinent as well as practical. Acceptable, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. The psalmist prays that his conduct will meet with God's approval, which is the highest of standards. Some men want only the approval of other men, but men's standards are often very corrupt and imbalanced. The true standard of right and wrong is God's standard. Choose to live by God's standard if you want to live a life of high character, and that is congruent with and consistent with, in harmony with, the high and holy standards of God. Then we see the sanctifier of conduct. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The one who can sanctify us is the Lord. He is our redeemer. And after he saves us, he gives us strength to live a holy life. Thus Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, Philippians 4:13. Christ both saves and strengthens. We personally, in our own power, are too weak to break the grip of sin on our lives. But thanks be to God, Christ can do it for us. Let us adopt this meaningful prayer prayed by the psalmist. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you have not been living in harmony with this prayer prayed by the psalmist, if you have mismanaged, misused, and abused your speech life as well as your thought life, your meditation life, and that has caused you to get off track and caused you to fall into the trap of sin, you don't have to remain in that unfortunate an unenviable position. You can be restored. The Lord's forgiveness, the Lord's strength, the Lord's love is available to restore you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Again, if you need to respond, we encourage you to do it. If you are not a Christian, why not become one through obedience of the gospel of Christ? You've heard the good news of what Christ did for us on the cross, how he was buried, and how he rose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Making it possible for us to be saved, making it possible for us to be a part of his family. And in totality, you can bring all of your life under new management. You know, a lot of times a new management team, new owners take over a business, and you see signs saying, under new management, and they want to convey to you that things are going to be better now that we are taking over. This business is under new management. When we become children of God, when we obey the gospel through belief, repentance, confession, and baptism, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you can put your mouth and your thought life under new management. All of your faculties can be brought under the control of the Lord Jesus. And you can give him priority, prominence, and preeminence in your life. Things are going to go so much better for you if you relinquish the reins of control of the management of your life and let the Lord take over. Somebody said if God is your co-pilot, you in the wrong seat. Let God be in charge. If you need to respond, why not do it now as we together stand and as we sing?
Why shall we might sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow.